It's Friday, February 20th, and welcome to Higher IQ. On Fridays, we're doing something a little different. No layoffs, no blackouts, just something genuinely fascinating that'll make you see the world a little differently by the time you finish your coffee. Did you know you were born able to learn any language on Earth? Mandarin, Swahili, the click languages of Southern Africa. Your infant brain could hear every sound humans use to communicate, hundreds of them. And then, around your first birthday, your brain started deleting options. By the time you were three, most of those doors had quietly closed. This is the story of how we arrive as citizens of the world and leave as prisoners of our mother tongue, and what that tells us about the invisible walls our language builds around our thinking. Let's get into it. Here's something that will mess with your head. A six-month-old baby in Tokyo and a six-month-old baby in Toronto can hear exactly the same sounds. Every consonant, every vowel, every tonal shift that distinguishes meaning in any human language. They're linguistically identical, blank slates with perfect ears. But by 12 months, they're different people. Patricia Kuhl, a neuroscientist at the University of Washington, has spent 30 years studying this. She puts electrode caps on babies and measures what happens in their brains when they hear speech. What she found is that between 6 and 12 months of age, something dramatic happens. The baby's brain starts taking statistics. Every time the baby hears a sound, neurons fire. The brain counts. How often does this sound appear? Does it seem to matter to the people around me? Is it the difference between two words or just variation? Japanese doesn't distinguish between the R and L sounds that English speakers hear as completely different. So a Japanese baby, hearing Japanese all day, starts to notice these two sounds, they always get treated the same. They're not important here. And the brain does what efficient brains do. It stops paying attention. It prunes the connection. By 10 months old, Japanese babies can no longer reliably hear the difference between R and L. They haven't lost their hearing. They've lost the category. The sounds still enter their ears. The brain just stops filing them separately. This is why learning a new language as an adult is so hard. It's not just that we need to learn vocabulary and grammar. We need to resurrect distinctions our brains deleted decades ago. Our neural pathways literally closed. We're trying to hear sounds that our brains decided when we were 11 months old didn't exist. Kuhl calls this neural commitment. The brain commits to the sounds that matter in its environment and uncommits from the ones that don't. It's efficient. It's adaptive, and it's happening to every baby, in every language, all over the world, right now. The window is shockingly short. At 6 months, babies are citizens of the world, as Kuhl puts it. By 12 months, they're culture-bound listeners. The doors close that fast. Here's the wildest part. Kuhl tried to reopen the window. She took 9-month-old American babies, right in the middle of the pruning period, and exposed them to Mandarin Chinese. 12 sessions with native Mandarin speakers, just 5 hours of exposure total. The babies who got live, human interaction, they learned to hear Mandarin phonetic contrasts, as well as babies raised in Taiwan. 5 hours, and their brains kept the door open. But babies who got the exact same Mandarin exposure through a video screen, they learned nothing. Their brains showed no response. The information went in their ears and disappeared. The brain doesn't just need input. It needs social input, a human face, a responsive interaction. That's what tells the baby, this matters. Pay attention. Keep this door open. No screen can do that. Not yet, anyway. There's a hopeful footnote here. Adults aren't completely locked out. With intense training, Japanese speakers have learned to hear R and L. It just takes hundreds of hours to claw back what a baby would have kept for free. We're not relearning. We're rebuilding neural pathways our brains demolished decades ago. Now here's where it gets stranger. It's not just sounds we're pruning. It's concepts. In the remote Aboriginal community of Porampurra, on the western edge of Australia's Cape York, people speak a language called Kuuk Thaayore. And Kuuk Thaayore doesn't have words for left or right. Think about how often we use those words. Pass the salt to your left. Take a right at the light. My keys are in my right pocket. For English speakers, left and right are foundational. The world organizes itself around our bodies. We are the center of our personal compass. In Kuuk Thaayore, there is no personal compass. There are only cardinal directions, north, south, east, west. Always, at every scale, you would say, there's an ant on your southwest leg, or move your cup a little to the north-northeast. The way you say hello is literally, which way are you going? And you'd better know the answer. Stanford cognitive scientist Lara Boroditsky went to Porompora to study what this does to the mind. She gave speakers a simple task. Arrange a set of cards in chronological order. A man aging, a crocodile growing, a banana being eaten. The cards were shuffled, and participants had to put them in sequence from earliest to latest. When English speakers do this task, they arrange the cards from left to right, every time. It's automatic. When Hebrew speakers do it, the cards go right to left, the direction their writing flows. The Kuuk Thaayore speakers did something nobody expected. They arranged the cards from east to west, the direction the sun travels across the sky. When they faced south, the cards went left to right. When they faced north, the cards went right to left. When they faced east, the cards came toward their body. They were tracking the cardinal directions without being told, without conscious effort, and using that orientation to structure time itself. We never told anyone which direction they were facing, Boroditsky wrote. The Kuuk Thaayore knew that already. They have what researchers call a perfect internal compass. Children as young as 2 are already using cardinal directions fluently. Researchers have reported seemingly impossible feats of orientation. A Tzeltal speaker from Mexico was blindfolded, placed in a dark house, and spun around over 20 times. Still blindfolded, still dizzy, he was asked to point north. He didn't hesitate. He pointed directly at it. This isn't magic. It's practice. From infancy, their language requires them to always know their orientation. So they do. The skill becomes automatic, wired in, as natural as knowing left from right feels to us. The price of speaking the language is that you can never be disoriented, because if you were, you couldn't speak. But here's the question that kept Boroditsky up at night. If their language organizes space differently, and space organizes time, what else is different? What thoughts are easy for them that are impossible for us? What categories do they have that we've pruned away as surely as a Japanese adult has pruned away the difference between R and L? This is what's so strange about language. It feels like a tool, something we use to express thoughts we already have. But the research suggests it's more like a mold. The thoughts we can easily have, the categories we can easily see, the distinctions we can easily make, they're shaped by the language we were handed before we could choose. English carves the world one way, Mandarin another. Kuuk Thaayore another still. And the carving starts before our first birthday, when our brains start choosing which doors to keep open and which to quietly close. Here's what gets us. Every time we struggle to learn a language, every time a sound just won't click, no matter how many times we hear it, that's not a failure of effort. That's archaeology. We're excavating something our own brains buried when we were 11 months old, before we had any say in the matter. The difficulty isn't a sign we're bad at languages. It's a sign the system worked exactly as designed. So what do we do with this? Maybe just this. Pay attention to the edges of our perception. Notice when something feels impossible to distinguish, two sounds that seem identical, a concept that won't quite translate. That's not a limitation to be frustrated by. That's a window into the architecture of our own minds. The walls we can't see are still walls. And knowing they exist is the first step to seeing around them. We were born able to hear every human sound. We were born able to think in cardinal directions, if someone had taught us. We were born with more options than we'll ever know. And then our brains, doing what efficient brains do, started specializing, committing, pruning, turning us into native speakers of one world and permanent tourists in all the others. Our language didn't just teach us words, it taught us what to notice and what to let disappear. Stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.